But we all quote various passages like Proverbs 14, verse 12, where it says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Or another passage in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, says, O Jehovah, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in the man that walks to direct his steps. And then also in Isaiah, chapter, I did have more trouble with my eyes than normal this morning. So if I have to call on Andy or someone to read the scripture for me, don't be too surprised. But in Isaiah chapter 55, begin verse 8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. We could read several other verses along the same lines and on the same basic subject. But what I want us to look at this morning primarily is God's remedy for sin. We have all kinds of examples where men did not follow God's pattern or his way. And we want to look at some of those. None of them are going to be surprises to you. You'll probably use these as well when we're trying to teach others. But in 2 Kings chapter 5, we read the account about Naaman the leper, who was a Syrian, I guess we would call him maybe a general or something along those lines. But the problem was he and a maiden had been captured in one of the efforts of getting him away from Syria, and there was a young maiden girl that was served his wife. But the problem was he was a leper, and leprosy is often referred to as a cleansing. When it's healed, it's cleansed. And it often refers to sin as leprosy. But the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young maiden from the land of Israel. And she waited on Naaman. She took care of his wife, but she also took care of his of Naaman himself, and she approached one of Elisha about healing him, and he simply told her to go and dip seven times in the Jordan River, and then she went and told Naaman about this simplicity of what God had planned and God's remedy for leprosy. He said in the latter part of verse 8, he says, please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Naaman went with his horses and chariots, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go. And Elisha sent a message to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan seven times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But guess what? You remember the account. Naaman became furious, mad. He was expecting Elisha to come out and make some big show or do something big and exact certain treasures. But little maiden girl that was serving him said, well, you know, if Elisha has told you to do some big thing, you'd be eager to do it. And so we see from there Naaman's desire to have Naaman dip seven times in the Jordan River. And his anger was kindled because the account shows us how that he is to fulfill what God said do. When he does that, then he, of course, is cleansed of his leprosy. And he dips seven times in the Jordan River. The rivers of Syria were much cleaner than the Jordan River, especially just north of the Sea of Galilee. It's a fairly narrow stream and also a muddy stream. But he learned from that, and we should learn from that example as well, that Naaman, Joshua, and others were all careful to do what God said do, and realize and understand God's remedy for sin. In Joshua chapter 6, we read the account where the children of Israel across the Jordan River, and God reassures him and says that I have given to you this city. Remember, Moses had died on the other side of the river and made ready their way. But he says that God says that he had given the city, but all that they had to do was to march around the city once each day for 7 days, and seven times on the seventh day, give a shout, and take the city. Incidentally, the walls fell outward, which is not the way that you conquer a city, the walled city especially. Archaeologists have dug down to the lower levels of a fort that was built by the Crusaders. So that we're talking about 1300, 1400, 1500, something like that. But when they did exactly as Joshua had told them, they received the blessings that he had also told them, because they were able to take the city. And after they took the city of Jericho, they went up against this little city of Ai with about 300 men, and tried to take God's word in hand. And they marched around the city, sounded the horn, gave a shout, and took the city of Jericho. Then also another account about God's remedy for sin is in Numbers chapter 21. Where we have the account about the children of Israel complaining to Moses, and God sent in snakes among them, and they were bitten by these fiery serpents, and were told to look at the brazen serpent and be healed. Well, that's not the way that you normally have a remedy for snake bites. And yet they need to understand that it was God's power that did it. It wasn't anyone else's power. Though they were told to raise that serpent, brass serpent, in the air, and then they could, then man could be healed. But a lot of people don't think about what all was involved here. They had to turn or repent of their sins. And though, like I said, they thought this is the foolishness of God, and they were going to improve on that, but not so. They couldn't do that. We come into the New Testament, John chapter 9, would be one place among many. But that was the occasion when the man was blind, and Jesus spat upon the ground and made a spittle of. Then Jesus anointed his eyes with that clay spittle and said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which was north geographically from the temple. And that's where he was told to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. He did. And he came back rejoicing. There's many examples of man learning about God's remedy for sin. That he cannot substitute anything like that. We cannot do that today. And yet it's so simple. Everyone should be able to understand it. And yet multiplied thousands do not. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. And there we read, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." There's two sides to salvation. There's man's side, human side, and there's the divine side. Lazarus would be another example of these kinds of things. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, no man could do that. But Jesus did. And remember when he immediately after he healed him of his leprosy, he told those that were with him to take off his grave clothes. That was something that man could do. Lazarus could assist in all of that. But man has a part to do in his salvation, but not everyone does that. Not everyone is willing to do those things. They think that it's too small. They want to have a big show, whatever that might be. It's different in various among various groups. But the need for us to do just what God says, and encourage others to do just what God says. Have mercy. God has mercy upon us and has provided us a remedy for sin. And that's not according to man's desires, but according to what God requires, his remedy for sin. But it's not enough to know the truth. There's a lot of people out there who know the truth, and we'll quote the truth sometimes, but often also they believe, but that's as far as they go. They don't try to respond in simple trusting obedience. So it's not enough to know the truth, but we have to obey the truth to do what God says. It fulfills God's remedy for sin. The plan is simple. All we have to do is obey. And all we have to encourage others to do is for them to also obey. And then understand the blessings that come as a result of that. If there's anyone here this morning who need to confess their sins or make things right with God, I want to encourage you to do that as together we stand and as we sing.